The question was asked about the balance between the physical and the spiritual in this world. So let's begin with an introduction. God created a physical world. Everything we see, everything we perceive, the things that we can perceive with our senses are physical. God created spiritual angels, which are not perceived with the senses. And then God took the mud, the holiest mud there was, from the holiest place in the world, and formed man and put within him a neshama and combined the spiritual with the physical. And then God said, you have a commandment and you are to perform. And with that commandment, what God gave man is b'chira chofshit, free choice. And God also brought a yetzer hara to the world. Now, so long as Adam was living in Gan Eden, the situation was such that he had an external yetzer hara, what the Medrash describes as the snake that has feet, and riding on top it is the yetzer hara, the Satan, Samael, however you want to call it. He's riding on top of this snake. And there's this fruit, whatever fruit it is, which Adam is forbidden to eat from. And he has the yetzer hara to eat from it. But it's external. And he knows what's right, and he knows what's wrong, and what's right seems true, and what's wrong seems false. However, the situation evolves, and Adam eats from the fruit. And after Adam eats from the fruit, what happens is that now what's wrong seems true. He has taken the external yetzer hara and brought it inside. And he has taken the pure insight that he has, the pure insight that God created, and he has defiled it. And now what he has is external temptations and internal temptations. Different world. Until now, the Nachash wants to seduce him. The Nachash wants to get him to do something bad. Pull him into the base medrash, he'll overcome him. Now he has a different problem. Now from within he's going to have the Yetzer Hara. And the fact that the Yetzer Hara is from within causes him to misjudge the world. Now when he looks at something and asks himself, is that good or is that bad? He has a hard time making the call. When we look at the physical, so sometimes people can say, you want to be a good person? Abstain. Sometimes people say, what are you here for? Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you may die. And the Torah teaches us that we are to bring holiness to the world. And holiness is brought to the world through physical things. Not only through physical things, but also through physical things. And we are supposed to make the physical world holy. And now, what I want to... Until now, I think much of what we said everyone knew. And what we'll continue with, I think everyone knows. But I think it's important to understand and be truthful about the balance. The Rambam writes, and it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, that even the physical things a person does, the mundane things a person does, a person can be serving his Creator in those actions. A person can say, I'm going to sleep because I'm wiped out, or a person can say, I need to serve my Creator tomorrow morning and I'm going to sleep so that I will be able to better serve my Creator. Now, the problem here is that this sounds very easy. And very often people deceive themselves. I've seen people sit down and say, I am eating for the sake of serving my Creator. You know how holy I am making this food. You know what good things I'm doing to this food by the fact that I'm making a bracha over it. And then take a portion that ensures that everyone else on the table doesn't have enough to eat. How holy is that?
You're saying you're eating because you're hungry. So, you're also making a reception. It's like, yes, I'm eating because I'm hungry. I'm fulfilling this need, but I'm like, other words, you're, it's like what you said. It's imbued in a sense of, it's like, yes, I'm eating because I'm hungry, but of course I'm going to modify my actions so that I don't act like selfishly. And at the same time, I'm going to respect God and thank God for my food proper, you know, it's just, it's moderation in full.
In other words, it becomes less of a physical act and more of, like, a spiritual act.
So, let's work our way forward. When you eat dry bread, it tastes dry. When you eat pizza, it tastes delicious. No one's saying that when you eat pizza, it shouldn't taste delicious. Could be a person will reach a level where that is such, where he really connects with his Creator, and that's he sees his Creator in that slice of pizza. We say now that David Hashem Ori V'Ishi, and in that paragraph of Tehillim, King David says, Ki avivi mi azavuni, for my father and mother have left me, v'Hashem yasveni, and Hashem gathers me in. Rashi quotes a medrash, and before we quote Rashi's medrash, I just want to introduce who King David's father was. David HaMelech, King David's father, was Yishai. Yishai, according to one understanding in the Gemara, was such a great tzaddik that he had no reason to die. He only died because God decreed that people should die in the world. He did not have a sin that was serious enough to warrant his death. He died because God had decreed, after Adam ate from the forbidden fruit, that there will be death in the world. No other reason. So he had such a tzaddik for a father that he's enumerated in the Gemara as one of the few who was such a tzaddik there was no reason he should die. That's David HaMelech's father. Now let's analyze this pasuk. What does David HaMelech say? David HaMelech says, Ki avivi mi azavuni, my father and mother have forsaken me. Explains Rashi. When a couple are together and have marital relations, each one is focused on his own pleasure. And when they're finished having the marital relations, each one rolls over on his side, being satiated, and falls asleep. David HaMelech says, when my parents were together and formed me, they were together for their own pleasure. Each one rolled over to the side and fell asleep. And I wouldn't have been formed if not for the fact that God gathered that sperm and that egg together and formed me. God is the only one that had this intent. So when I came upon this Rashi in Tehillim, I said, what? That's what Rashi is saying about Yishai? How could David HaMelech speak that way about his parents? What's going on here? So I went to Rabbi Yort and I said, what's pshat in this Rashi? And he explained it to me as follows. He said, Rashi writes it in a very strong manner. But what Rashi is really pointing out is that when a couple is together... It's okay. We're happy whenever you come. You guys look wiped, but welcome. Come. How many guys do we have?
We just came out.
So we'll get you guys drinks, just a second. You guys look... So what he told me was that because the human nature is such that when a person, for example, will eat a slice of pizza and he enjoys the slice of pizza, so then as much as he wants to be focused on serving his Creator, at some point he's going to notice, this is delicious. And so David's parents, when they got together, they undoubtedly prepared themselves, as the halacha explains a person is supposed to prepare himself, and prepared their thoughts and intent that they are coming here to perform a mitzvah. But a person can't help it if during the process that he is performing a mitzvah, he is enjoying himself. So at some point, there is going to be that switch where he feels the enjoyment, and he's going to want to have in mind, I'm doing this for the sake of the mitzvah. But in truth, there is some level where the enjoyment he derives at that given moment overtakes him. At what level and how much, so that depends on the person. But that's what David HaMelech was referring to. That my parents at some point reached the point where they were overtaken with themselves. Now, we have to recognize that any physical pleasure, any even non-physical, any impure pleasure is usually focused on me. That's where it focuses on. Now, it doesn't have to be physical pleasure. Sometimes it could be the ego that enjoys. But that's something which is not spiritual. Things that are spiritual, in truth, are also focused on me. but they're focused on me and my connection to my Creator. Now, this is very, very distant from us. And I want to give you an example of how distant from us this is. I was on the phone Erev Yom Kippur with the widow of Rav Pesin. Rav Pesin was a big Talmud Chacham that passed away this past Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah morning he sat to say Kriya Shema, or Rosh Hashanah night, I don't remember. And he finished Shema and had a heart attack. Big Talmud Chacham. And his widow was also, she's the daughter of a big rabbi, one of the Rosh Yeshiva Mir. And when he passed away, she was mortified. She was wiped out. And I called her up. I called her to console her, and I called her also Erev Yom Tov out of respect. Our sages teach us, Eishes Chaver Arei Ki Chaver, that you have to treat a rabbi's wife with the same respect you treat the rabbi. So I learned by him. He was my rabbi. So I called her to wish her an easy fast. And I called her just after she commenced sitting Shiva. And she spoke to me for about a half hour, crying on the phone. And when we finished speaking, so I reminded her that she has to make sure to eat and drink to be prepared for the fast. So she said, I want you to know I'm very happy that I'm coming straight out of Shiva into Yom Kippur. I feel like this was part of the holiness of my husband. That even in his passing, he set it up in a way, like heavenly, it was set up in a way that was the ideal that could be. How many people merit to go straight out of Shiva into a day that they embrace the Creator, into Yom Kippur, to a day that they connect with the Creator? And I heard this and I'm thinking, wow. I never thought of Yom Kippur as a day I'm embracing my Creator. I think of Yom Kippur as a day I'm hungry, as a difficult day, as a day where I'll be in shul all day. Many things on Yom Kippur. I'll be judged on Yom Kippur. But what's my focus when I think of Yom Kippur? Unfortunately, it's the capital I. It's me. And here I'm talking to a person that when she speaks about Yom Kippur, she speaks about Yom Kippur as a day of embracing the Creator. That shows us a certain level. We're very distant from that level. And we have to be realistic. Yishai, on his level, also had things to contend with. Even the person, the great Tzaddik Yishai, David's father, who had no sin to die for, he still had something to contend with as far as the pulling downs of the physical world and the enjoyments of the physical world. Certainly we have what to contend with. A person has to be realistic. If a person is going to say, I'm only going to eat dry bread, within a few days he's going to lose a lot of pounds.
Which
could be good, but could be bad. Because it's very difficult to eat things out of intent to serve the Creator. So a person could say, okay, so I'm not on that level, so I'm going to put jam on my bread in order to serve my Creator, so I'll eat well. That can work for a day, maybe. But very fast, what's going to overtake him is the focus on the jam. That it tastes good. So what's the balance? At each stage in life, the balance is different. But a person has to look for that balance and find it. A person should be able to focus what he does to serve his Creator. I remember once standing in the hallway and hearing two people talking. It was 1 o'clock in the morning, and two people are talking in the hallway, and one tells the other one, he yells, he says, I tell you, the most important thing is to have good traits. People have to care for one another. He's saying this as he's yelling at the top of his lungs inside the hallway, waking up all his neighbors. So how much does he care? Maybe he cares, but he doesn't know how to care. But I tend to doubt that. We try to think of ourselves as positive people, and we are positive to a great extent, but we have to work on being more positive. And part of it is recognizing where we truly are, and then thinking, okay, how do I become better? So a person could say, I'm only going to eat for the sake of serving my Creator. Fine. Are you capable of only eating bread and whatever is healthy? Probably not. So the balance, so how do I find the balance? I said, fine, I'll eat tasty things so that I could better serve my Creator. And I'll try to balance to eat only what I need to serve my Creator. When I got smicha, sort of peasants, that's how, quoted me something that his father-in-law quoted him. His father-in-law gave him smicha, his wife's father. And he said, the Gemara records that there were two great sages who were taken out to be killed. And they were part of the Asara Arugei Malchus, part of the 10 who were killed by the kingdom, and they suffered a very cruel death, all ten.
And
what?
By the Romans?
Yeah. And one asked the other, he said, why am I going to end up like this? So he told him, he said, could it be that one time a woman came to ask you a halachic question, and because the previous meal you had eaten a little bit too much, you had slept, and you were tired because you ate too much, so you slept a little bit too much. And that little bit that you slept too much was just at a time when someone came to ask you a halachic question and you weren't available to answer them. Could that be? Because if that's so, that's enough to deserve, to warrant this terrible death. So this is what he told me, and this is what his father-in-law told him. So this is your task when people are going to need to ask you questions, so you have no your responsibility. It goes as far as weighing how much to eat so you won't be too tired, so you'll be available to answer the questions. Because if you eat a little bit too much, so you're too tired, so you're not there to answer people when they want you, so you should know you're going to pay for that. So, okay? Scared the wits out of me. But he held that that's the level that a person has to be on. In our generation, that's what his father-in-law held, and that's what he held. Okay. At every time, a person has to work and move forward. A person can't rest and say, I'm fine. No, always a person has to move forward, but a person has to know that it's very difficult. Now, what he brought up before, that being ascetic, but going to the extreme and saying, I won't enjoy anything, that's wrong. So, it's not so simple. As we discussed in the Rambam's Shmona Prakim, in general, that's not the ideal. But sometimes, in order to get to the ideal, if a person is off to one extreme, he has to go to the other extreme in order to get to the balance. And that's why sometimes you'll see tzaddikim and chassidim that they say they fast, or they only eat dry bread or other things. And the reason is because they say they have to balance where they were until now, being that most people are off balance, that they indulge too much. So they go to the opposite extreme, and then eventually they attain the happy medium. That's a way of attaining the medium. And the medium is that you eat what you need to eat and enjoy it, but sanctify it by doing it in a holy fashion. Now, society and our internal nature always drives us to get pleasure now. And one of the messages that we see from Adam, from Adam's sin, is that that is part of the human downfall. The fact that a person is not willing to wait. The Torah tells us you can enjoy it, but at the proper time. You want to eat matzah and enjoy it? Fine. But eat it, say there by night. Don't eat it that morning. That morning you're not supposed to eat the matzah. A person is engaged to a girl. So we tell him, wait. She's going to be your wife. You two are going to be together, but wait till you're married to her. Now, the human tendency is to always want to drive forward and get everything now. And today's society also keeps pumping us with the message that enjoy it now. That isn't good. That is the antithesis of being holy. Being holy is abstinence for a period. Abstinence that says I will do it in moderation, the proper fashion, the proper time, the proper way. And as a person grows, a person is supposed to be able to do that and be happy with it. What we've often discussed is that In a person's self-improvement, a person has to always try and do it with happiness. That doesn't mean it won't be difficult. But if a person is walking around being depressed, then he knows he's jumped too far. A person is supposed to be happy with his self-improvement. And slowly a person works and moves forward and builds. Okay?
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Okay.